welcome to the One Man Renegade Podcast. I'm your host, the Honorable Greg B., and this is Chapter 193, and we got plenty to talk about, so let's get into it. But before we get to that, if you have never subscribed to the channel for some reason, if this is the first time you're ever listening, welcome. But if for some reason you stumbled upon this and you're not subscribed, or if you have listened in the past and just never subscribed, you can do so by very, very many means. Obviously, the old school Apple Podcasts, you can do it through there. If you rather use Amazon through their like Audible app, you can subscribe on there. Spotify, if you're using Spotify to listen to your music and figured out what your Spotify Wrapped is, well, add One Man Renegade Podcast to your Wrapped. Or I don't know. Actually, I don't know how it works, but whatever. Whatever. Add it to your Wrapped. Add it to your follows or subscribes or whatever. And then also Stitcher, if you use the SiriusXM podcasting app, Stitcher, check it out on there as well. Also, you can follow me on Instagram, One Man Renegade, as well as Twitter, which I know Twitter's got its whatever going on. But hey, if you're still on Twitter and using it, I post on there. Mostly what I post on there is what I posted. I don't really provide any commentary or any sort of like insight on anything. I just literally post links to other things that are from other places. For instance, my YouTube channel, One Man Renegade Production, over on YouTube. That's also the name of the Facebook page as well, if you want to follow or, you know, like or share or however it works. But follow, like, and share everything. Also, go check out all the videos on the YouTube channel. Follow, like, and share, subscribe, all that stuff. And then check out my eBay. I got a bunch of stuff up for sale. A lot of wrestling-related material up for sale on my eBay. So if you're looking for the last-minute gifts or whatever for wrestling, if you're wrestling fans that you know or whatever, go check it out. But I'll also be adding stuff hopefully soon. More diverse stuff. Well, eventually, I don't know. Whatever, just go check it out. My Razor Vader is the name that I use as my seller name. Go check it out. Save me as a seller. Check out all my items. Make some offers. I'll wheel and deal. So make some offers, buy some stuff. And also check out the blog, razorvader.blogspot.com. Not a whole lot going on there. It's where I host my podcast. So it's just the podcast. But hey, you know, if you want to check it out. So I used to post a lot more stuff on there and go check it out. I don't know. All right. Enough of that babbling on. Let's move on and start things off as normally do. We're back to the normal format with matinee moments. I did see a bunch of movies recently. Mostly Netflix stuff. I don't know. I've just been on this like, what's on Netflix? Hey, there's a bunch of movies I haven't seen. So I watched a few of those. I did go to the movies again, and I'll talk about that one at the end. I watched The Weekend Away. I don't know how to explain this movie. The Weekend Away kind of reminded me, I mean, it was like a little bit of like Taken, sort of, but not really. I mean, just in the sense that like it's two women that go to like a foreign country, and they go to Croatia, but they live in London, but one of the girls is from London. It's confusing. But then something happens and a bunch of nonsense goes on, and this one girl wakes up and her friend's missing, and then it's all about her trying to figure out what happened to her and where she is and everything. I don't want to give away like any of the details because it's a mystery and all sorts of stuff. So, but it was decent. It was all right. I don't want to compare it directly to Taken, but it was like I'm watching this movie and I'm like, I feel like I've seen this movie before, but like bits and pieces of like in other movies. I don't know. It was okay, but you know, nothing crazy, but you know, not bad. Decent watch if you got nothing else to watch. Then I also watched The Man from Toronto. Kevin Hart basically is just a regular old guy, and he gets caught up in the wrong place at the wrong time, and then all sorts of shenanigans happen, and Woody Harrelson is the actual man from Toronto, but there's confusion and I don't know. It's a comedy, but an action film, sort of. I don't know. Kind of a buddy film, but not really. It's kind of all over the place, and it's a little bit of a mess. It's okay, but I, you know, it's not... I mean, unless you really, really love Kevin Hart. I mean, there's also Me Time you can watch on Netflix, which I watched. I talked about, I think I talked about that on the podcast before. I don't know. That wasn't all that great either. And neither is this. I don't know. They're, I would guess, I would say this was a little, this is a, you know, a step up from Me Time, I suppose. But, I don't know, unless you really like Kevin Hart or Woody Harrelson, who, I just saw Woody Harrelson in a new, in a trailer for a new movie. It's an interesting one. It's by one of the Farrelly brothers. I forget which one. For some reason, they're not doing movies together anymore, I guess. I don't know. But the Bobby, I think. Or I forget. I think it's... Or maybe it's Peter. I don't know. It's one of the... It's from one of the Farrelly brothers. Which is interesting because the it's called Champions. I think it's called Champions. Something like that. But basically... Well, I don't know what I'm talking about this. I haven't seen it. I just saw the trailer. Woody Harrelson is like a coach and a basketball coach, and he gets fired, and then he has to coach a bunch of mentally, I don't even know what the right word is to say, mentally challenged, mentally something. I don't. They say it in the movie, and I'm like, oh, wait, that's what we're supposed to say now? Obviously, they make the jokes about people saying the bad words, and that seems, I don't know. My point on all this is I feel like they already did this movie. It was called The Ringer, right? I mean, it seems very similar. Which, I'm trying to think, was that also? No. I was going to say, was that also the Farrelly Brothers? No, it wasn't. I don't know. I mean, it's not exactly, I don't know, whatever. I just feel like we've seen this movie before. But anyways, moving on. The next movie I watched on Netflix was called The Luckiest Girl Alive. This one was okay. It was decent. It's got Mila Kunis. Basically, is this woman living in New York trying to become a known writer, but it's working at like a whatever. Working somewhere. I don't know. It's getting married to this guy and... all this, like, but there's like something in her past, and they start doing the flashbacks of what happened when she was in high school, and all these things happened, and now they're trying to, you know, do a documentary about it. And I don't know, it's okay. I don't know. I mean, there's a bit of a mystery element to it because you don't know exactly what happened, and then you kind of like you're, you know, reliving it through her like memories, sort of. I don't know. It's okay. Nothing great, but again, worth a watch if you get nothing else going on. If you're looking for something and you like Mila Kunis. Which I will say this about the movie though, which bothered me a little bit. I have nothing wrong, nothing against Mila Kunis. But the issue I had with this movie was there was a lot of narrating and like inner thought kind of things that was just Mila Kunis talking, like, but like, you know, not on screen or whatever. And I'm sorry, I watched too much Family Guy, I think, because I just hear Meg Griffin, and I'm just thinking, shut up, Meg. That's all I can think of. Just like this thing, I'm just hearing her voice and just thinking Meg Griffin talking, you know, explaining this as opposed to Mila Kunis or her character or whatever. So, I don't know. I just feel like Mila Kunis maybe shouldn't narrate stuff. Sorry to say. You know, Meg Griffin's kind of ruined that for her. Just saying. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. But anyways. So I watched that. So, those are the three Netflix movies I watched. Then I watched this movie on Hulu. I don't think it's not an original Hulu movie, but it was just on Hulu. Those Netflix ones were all originally Netflix. Well, The Man from Toronto was a weird one because it's technically a Sony movie, but they decided they didn't want to release it, so then they just sold it to Netflix to release it, but it was a Sony movie released by Netflix. So the other two, I think, were Netflix movies. It always gets confusing, like, who actually put these movies out. I mean, I know they were on Netflix, but, like, The Munsters... that was on Netflix, but it was a Universal movie because they have the rights to it. So it's like, but it was specifically made for Netflix, which is weird because it's like, if you're Universal, why wouldn't you put it on Peacock? You know, I don't understand. Like, Netflix gave you enough money to buy it out for their platform as opposed to just putting on your own platform. I don't really understand that process. I mean, like, the Sony one I get because Sony doesn't have a streaming service, so it's like, okay, if they're not gonna release this movie in theaters, they're probably better off getting, you know, having Netflix buy it from them to distribute it on the streaming service, as opposed to just releasing it like on demand or whatever by themselves. If, you know, again, they're not putting it in theaters. I don't know. It depends on what the movie is. Depends, you know, the hype is. But like, obviously, if they thought it was good enough to put in theaters, you know, they would have. And if they don't, I don't think they feel like it's strong enough for people to buy it, like, on demand. Especially in this, you know, I mean, we're the post-pandemic sort of, you know, structure. Where it's like, yeah, people kind of want to go out and do stuff again. So, you know, just releasing a movie in like, to buy isn't really the way to go. Whereas, you know, 2 years ago, yeah, you know what? It's like, yeah, we don't have, we're not doing streaming service, but like, we'll release this movie, like, for you to buy. And it would be like the same as going to the theater, which you can't do because the theaters were closed or whatever, for the most part. I don't know. It's fine. All right, so, but this final movie was briefly in theaters, I'm pretty sure. But is now on Hulu. See for me. So... It kind of is like, I don't know how to explain this movie. It's kind of like Hush, but instead of being deaf, the girl's blind. But then there's a bit more to it, which I know when saying that, it sounds like, what's that horror movie they had the sequel recently? Is it Don't Breathe? Is that what that's called? But see that one was different too, because like, I don't know, there's more like the, I don't know, it's kind of, I guess, sort of like that in a way. I mean, cause the guy was blind, but then, you know, they kind of turned it around. Whereas in this one, it's like, I don't know, the girl, it's kind of, yeah, it's similar actually, now that I think about it, in a way, but not completely. But then there's this whole other part of it where like there's a service, which is the name of the movie, See For Me, is like a service that blind people can use. I don't know if it's a real thing. I'm not blind, so I don't know, but it's a service that they call, and you can just use your phone and they'll tell you what you're looking at or whatever. So that's part of that, plays a big part in the movie too. So yeah, I mean, it's kind of Don't Breathe, but also sort of Hush, but blind. I don't know. It was another movie that it's like, I'm watching this being like, I've seen this all before in other movies. But like, I don't know. It's okay. It's fine. But like, yeah, it's just kind of one of those things where it's like, I need something new. Give me something new. This isn't really new. Like, I just named two movies, which is very similar to this plot. Basically the plot is she's house sitting for some, like cat sitting for somebody, and then a bunch of people try to break in. And yeah, it's like, you know, Don't Breathe, the guy was blind, people tried to break in his house. You know, Hush, girl was deaf, people tried to break in the house, you know? Yeah. So anyways, there we go. All right. But the movie I went to the theaters to see, it is now December, we're in the holiday mood, we're in the holiday spirit, we're in the holiday everything. And if you listen to, it's Violent Night. I went to go see the Violent Night in the theaters. And the craziest part of the movie, I mean, it's over the top, it's pretty ridiculous. Santa Claus, you know, it's basically Die Hard. And again, this is another issue of seeing this all before, you know, just in a different, you know, sort of setting with a different person, but it's basically Die Hard, and a little bit of Home Alone mixed with Bad Santa. I mean, but then he's actually Santa, not like a guy playing Santa. But a lot of people, you know, wouldn't know that. No one knows that. So they're just kind of assuming, you know, he's just a guy dressed up as Santa or whatever. But, you know, so it's an action movie, lots of violence and, you know, fighting and whatever. Whatever. Like I said, it's Die Hard, but a little bit more over the top than Die Hard for sure. And it's also Santa. But there is one specific scene where Santa's starting to fight back and starts beating up a lot of bad guys. And for whatever reason, and I'm sitting in the theater being like, why did they choose this song? Out of all the Christmas songs I could use, and even more specifically, Santa songs they should have probably used, would have made more sense. Instead, they chose Bryan Adams' Christmas Time, which if you listened to the last episode, you would know that's Drew's favorite Christmas song. Even last 2 weeks ago's podcast with that song because of that reason. So this song comes on and I'm just like, what? Out of all Christmas songs to use, they use this song for this scene. And I was just like, I don't know why they didn't use a Santa song. I feel like the Santa song would have made more sense, but I don't know. It was just kind of crazy to me. I was just like sitting in the theater. I just started laughing and I don't know. People near me probably like, is this a scene you're supposed to be laughing to? I don't know. I mean, because there were scenes in this movie that were certainly funny and we were meant to laugh at, but I don't know if this was one of them, but I was laughing at specifically the song coming on being like, and more of like a, like, I can't believe it laugh as opposed to, you know, it was actually like funny. But I was like, what? What the hell? Out of all the songs, which I've already heard 20 times in the last 2 weeks. And I've then heard it in the movie, which I just was not expecting them to play that song. I don't know. But yeah, so there you go. As far as the movies, that's what I've seen. So let's switch it on over to matinee moments. Sorry, no, that was matinee moments. Switch it on over to small screen sweeps. And I'm kind of like gonna verge into it because this next one technically is a TV special, but it's a movie, but it was on a streaming platform, so I don't know which category it's supposed to fall into. It's also Christmas related, so it kind of works with what I was just talking about. But the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special finally dropped on Disney Plus. I checked it out. It was okay. I don't know. It was kind of goofy. I mean, the plot is that Drax and, oh, I always forget her name. The Moth Lady. I'll call her Moth Lady. I don't know why I call her Moth Lady. Not Moth Lady. Mantis. Excuse me. Mantis. Drax and Mantis. So basically, they're trying to... Star-Lord, he's kind of like down and out. I mean, presumably because Gamora's still, you know, gone or whatever. Which, then they kind of showed the... Then we saw the Guardian of the Galaxy 3 preview. So, obviously, that's going to play a big plot into that movie for sure. But we didn't see that yet. It hadn't dropped before. But obviously, that's kind of why he's down and out. So, they're like, oh, it's Christmas, but we don't really know what Christmas is. So, they try to figure out about Christmas. And they're getting a lot of the facts wrong or whatever. But they're like, all right, we need to get a gift for him for Christmas. So, they go to Earth to get him Kevin Bacon. So that's the plot. They're trying to get Kevin Bacon to come back to nowhere, which was where they are right now. Not nowhere, but like the planet nowhere, like where the collector was, right? That's where the collector was. I'm trying to remember all the MCU stuff now. Marvel, yeah, that's where they are, I think, pretty sure, whatever, regardless, so yeah, they try to get Kevin Bacon to come, and I don't know, it's okay, it's, you know, it's got its moments, but, you know, it's, as a Christmas special, I don't think this is one that's going to live out beyond this year. It's like, I don't think everyone's going to gather around the television to watch the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special like they, you know, watch the Grinch or Rudolph or something like that. But, I mean, it's probably got more legs than the Star Wars one, because I still don't think the Star Wars one has technically ever been aired or seen or released in any form outside of the original airing back in 1980, or was that 79? Whatever year it was. I mean, there's versions of it on the internet that you can find and try to watch, but it's like, I still don't understand why, and maybe they just don't have like a good version of it, but like, why why is it not on Disney Plus? Like, why is it not on Disney Plus? It's 1978. Okay. I didn't know what year it was. I wasn't born yet, so I didn't, you know. November 17th, 1978. Now, so the animated segment, which introduced Boba Fett, was part of this. And I guess that's available on Disney Plus. I don't know, actually know for sure. But like, not the full holiday special. I don't know. It's weird. Just release the special. Unless they did, and I completely missed it, which I don't think they did. No, it was a Lego Star Wars holiday special. That's what's confusing everything. But yeah, I guess last year they did put the Boba Fett part up for... I guess it's on there somewhere. I think I did watch that, actually. I know the thing about it. I'd seen it before. Well, I've seen the whole thing before in like a bootleg version, which not that great, but hey, whatever. It's just weird. Just do it. Who's complaining at this point? What are we waiting for? Why can't we see it? My guess is they just don't have a good version of it. I don't know. But whatever. Regardless, what was I talking about? I don't know. Speaking of Star Wars stuff, I guess I should have talked about this a little bit more in the matinee moments as opposed to small screen sweeps, but they did release the trailer, and it's connected to the Star Wars holiday special because Harrison Ford was in it. They did release the trailer for the new Indiana Jones. Looks okay. I don't know. I mean, there's no Shia LaBeouf, so that's better, I suppose. I don't know. There's also no Shia LaBeouf in the new Transformers movie either, which I didn't even know they were doing a new Transformers movie, but apparently they are. No Mark Wahlberg. I don't even know who's in it, to be quite honest with you. They just, like, here's a bunch of new Transformers, and they got the animal ones now. Okay, cool. What? I don't know, like, if any of the people that were in any of the previous Transformers movies in it. It's all right. Just a bunch of trailers have dropped recently. I'm just kind of collecting it all together. But anyways, okay. Enough about any of that. Let's move on. What else have I been watching on TV? I'm trying to remember what the last thing I was watching the last time I did a full episode was. And I can't remember. But regardless, here's what I have been watching more recently. I watched Pennyworth seasons 2 and seasons 3. I had watched season 1 previously when it, like, you know, shortly after it originally came out on Epix. Now, season 2 was also on Epix. I never watched that one. And then it moved over to for season 3 to HBO Max. So I'm started watching season 2, finished season 2, then started watching season 3, got to the end, and then I was like, wait, is this it? Like, it's like, because the last episode I watch, I'm like, that doesn't seem like it's over. I feel like there's more. And I didn't realize that the season was still ongoing at the time that I was watching it. So the last episode hadn't aired yet. And then it did dropped on Thanksgiving, because HBO Max does weekly stuff. They're not like they don't drop them all at once like some services do. So I was a little confused, but I was like, oh, okay. Pretty good. I mean, you know, it's as far as I know, it's not connected to any other DC stuff, But it shows the, you know, certainly the differences with DC versus, you know, Marvel in terms of what they're doing pretty much with everything, I guess. But specifically on the TV side of things. Because where Marvel did have it all separated, you know, they had like the kind of the kiddie shows that were like, you know, or not kiddie, I don't know why I say kiddie, but like teenage, you know, aimed towards teenagers or whatever. We had like Cloak and Dagger and The Runaways. But then you also had like kind of more adult. I mean, I wouldn't say they were R-rated, but they were like borderline R-rated with like Daredevil and Jessica Jones and those on Netflix. And then, you know, you had like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which was kind of more connected a little more with the MCU. You know, once they, you know, did all the Disney Plus stuff, it's all kind of come together into this whole thing, which you know, is fine. I guess it makes sense on that regard. But now it's like, well, they don't have like the Netflix stuff. So like they don't really go, I don't, you know, R-rated-ish. I mean, they are bringing Daredevil back, but I mean, I don't think it's gonna be as violent as it was on Netflix. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I mean, because the other looming thing is Deadpool, you know, and it's like where we've seen DC certainly, you know, been willing to go R-rated for sure. You know, we saw it with obviously Suicide Squad, you know, the Joker, you know, Birds of Prey, you know, those are all R-rated movies. And with the TV side of things, Pennyworth is definitely, you know, TVMA, you know, and so, you know, Peacemaker for sure. So while DC is certainly, and I mean, that doesn't even count like the, you know, the kind of like offshoot DC stuff. But you know, whatever, like Sandman and I guess like Preacher and there was another one too. I don't know. Some of the offshoot stuff that's technically on like their, is it Vertigo? It was Vertigo, but now Vertigo's gone and now it's just DC. Like there's another name for it, but like it's still, now it's just all part of DC. I don't know. That's another thing. I don't know. But as far as Marvel goes, you know, it's, you know, obviously the Fox side of things decided to go with the R-rated stuff with like Logan in the Deadpool movies. But it's like, I don't know where, you know, obviously, you know, Disney bought out Fox. They got those back. They haven't really used them yet. They've teased them a little bit. But we are getting a proper Deadpool movie at some point. I don't even know what year that's supposed to come out. I think 2024 or something like that. Maybe, I don't, I think, or is that 2023? I don't know. It's not for a while. But a lot of people are still speculating, is it going to be R-rated? Is it going to be like the previous Deadpool movies? I would hope so. Everyone kind of says it's going to be, but at the same time, it is Disney, so I don't know. I mean, obviously, they put those movies on Disney Plus, which angered some people. But, you know, they're there, so they acknowledge them, and they, you know, have them available. So, and part of Disney Plus, not like Hulu. So that's a good sign that they're definitely going to implement them, you know, not just into the MCU, but as, you know, not down, you know, not downgrade it to like PG-13 or whatever. I mean, obviously that was something they tried. I mean, Fox did with the Deadpool, Once Upon a Deadpool movie or whatever that was, you know, that was PG-13. We're like, hey, yeah, we could do this with PG-13. It was kind of like, yeah, this is weird. But I mean, you know, the other side of that though is, and again, Blade's supposed to be coming out too. I don't know what they're aiming towards for Blade. You know, if that even comes out, there's been so many issues and problems with that movie. But you know, it'll be interesting because it's like, if you do bring Deadpool into the MCU and you have this Deadpool movie and it's R-rated and you typical Deadpool stuff you're used to, but then, hey, Deadpool shows up in the Avengers, And then what do you do? Because then it's going to be weird. It's like, hey, you know, you're usually saying bad words and you're not. Or, you know, you're usually cutting people's heads off and you're not. It's like, I don't know how that's going to work. But whatever. We'll, you know, I, you know, that's not for a while. So we'll see it when it comes out and we'll argue about it then. But yeah, so Penny, but back to what I was talking about originally with Pennyworth, solid show, enjoyable, you know, exactly, you know, don't think it's connected to anything, but it doesn't really need to be. A lot of these DCU things kind of aren't, you know, always connected now, that they've realized, you know, we don't have to connect everything. Yeah, I think they're doing a season four. I'm not 100% sure, but I wouldn't see why they wouldn't. But then after I finished watching that, I finally watched the final episodes. And when I say final, I'm giving it, you know, air quote or quotation things, episodes of The Walking Dead, because not only is it not over, I mean, the mainline Walking Dead show is over. But, you know, you still got the Fear Walking Dead's airing. Now there's gonna be what's it called? Well, the one with Negan and Maggie, which what's it called? They named it. It's supposed to come out next year. Let's see. Dead City, Walking Dead, Dead City. That's coming out next year, I think. I think it's scheduled for next year. There's also the Daryl Dixon show, which originally was supposed to be Daryl and Carol, but then Carol said, "Nah, I don't want to do it." So that's just gonna be Daryl. There's that show, and then, you know, spoiler alerts, they kind of show a little bit more with Rick and Michonne. There's gonna be Rick and Michonne, which was supposed to be a movie, now gonna be a show. So there's three more shows spinning off of the original show beyond Fear the Walking Dead, which is still going on. So to say The Walking Dead is over is really just, no, it's not over at all. It's like, what? They're just kind of like restarting with side quests, I guess. I don't even know what to call it. So certainly, yeah, it's over, but it's certainly not over. Yeah, because you never know who's gonna show up, in Fear the Walking Dead either. You know, we've seen a few characters show up in there. You know, you don't know exactly who's gonna show up on these other spin-offs. You know, other people could show up in those and whatever. So, you know, obviously, you know, while the main story, the main show, I guess, is over, it's sort of not really. I don't know, but yeah, I finished watching that. It was fine. I don't know. But it's like, you know, it was one of those things where it's like, oh, I gotta watch the final episodes. Like, it's gonna end. And it's like, well, this didn't really end anything. It was just kind of like, this is the season finale, and then we're gonna come back with the show, but it's gonna be called something different. And, like, I don't know. And it's gonna be more centered on certain people. But it's like, they did that so much before with The Walking Dead. You'd watch episodes, and they'd center on certain characters. You wouldn't see other characters for weeks. It's like, well, that's sort of what they're doing. They're just going to do a whole season of it. So it's like, I don't know. It's weird. But anyways, yeah, so The Walking Dead, I finished watching. Then I jumped back into a couple of shows that I'd watched season one of, but season two had come out, and I hadn't seen them. So I was like, all right, maybe I should watch season two of these shows. One was The Flight Attendant, which, you know, I like season one enough. But season two just seemed like, what are we doing? I don't know. I don't know. Season one was good, but now you spin it off into this other thing, and I don't know. It was trying to be too much like season one, but it wasn't season one. It was okay, but, like, I don't know. For me, I just feel like it didn't work as well as season one did. So there you go. Then the next show I watched was Russian Doll season two. Now this was interesting because in season one, I mean, I don't know if it's spoiler alert because it's, you know, clearly what the show is about. Season one was basically Happy Death Day, Groundhog Day kind of type of situation where she She gets killed, but then she wasn't dead, and she goes back to where the night started, and then, it keeps happening and happening and happening and whatever. And then she finds out there's this other guy, same situation. So, whatever. Spoiler alert, they figure it out and they get out of it. This season, however, they deal with time travel. She gets on a subway train and goes back in time. And then realizes something's weird with her family, tries to figure out what's going on. Then there's a bunch of time travel stuff that happens. I don't want to spoil everything because they do something kind of interesting that then breaks everything. It's kind of interesting. And then, the other guy, he kind of gets into the same situation as well. I don't want to say, I don't know if it was as good as the first season, but it was definitely different for sure, which I did like that aspect of it. I did think it was good that they tried something else, because it's like, you can't just go back. And that was the problem a lot of people had with Death Day 2. Or whatever, Happy Death Day 2, you, or whatever it was called, the second one, where it was like, wait, no, you're doing this again? No, you can't, we already saw this, you already did this. I guess that was part of my problem with that movie. So, they didn't do that, but you got to do something similar, and I think time travel kind of worked. Then I finished, so I watched that, and then I started watching Walker. So it's on HBO Max. The show airs on CW, but I think it's season 3 now, but I hadn't seen 1 or 2, so I'm going back and watch him. Obviously, it's a remake of Walker, Texas Ranger, Chuck Morris show. But I feel like it's a little bit less goofy. And I don't know that the original Walker, Texas Ranger was intended to be that way. But certainly when you go back and watch it, and I don't know if it's more because of the Conan O'Brien stuff that he did with it, the Walker, Texas Ranger lever, or maybe just because, of all the Chuck Norris stuff, it becomes a little bit more parody than it was meant to be. Not a parody, but like more, it's a little more campy than it's meant to be, I guess. Whereas I feel like with this show, it's a little bit more serious than, or taken more serious, I should say, than the old Walker, Texas Ranger, but it's not bad. I'm probably 2/3 of the way through season 1 so far. Enjoying it so far. So, yeah, I'll continue watching it, I guess. And then it's airing right now, so I'll have to catch up on the current season, I suppose. And that's going to be the hard part about it, though, is when I finally catch up, and it's like, oh, now it airs weekly. That's always the tough part. So, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. It could be another one of those situations where I'll just DVR it and save a bunch of episodes and then, at some point binge. Like, I might just finish seasons one and two right now and then wait till season 3's over and then do that. Maybe what I do. I don't know. We'll see. But anyways, that's what I'm watching right now. Other than that, I'm watching kind of the cartoons, Fox cartoons and Young Rock. I've been watching Young Rock, kind of the weekly, sitcom-y, half an hour type shows that it's easier to catch up on. Sort of just what I'm watching right now. And then I'll binge the hour long whatevers when I get the chance to. So I guess that's going to do it for small screen sweeps. Move on to games for Greg. Honestly, I don't really have much to talk about. The only video games I've really been playing are with Drew. We've been playing Madden 2011. Why 2011? I don't know. He wanted to play Madden, and that was just the first one I could find. I'll be honest, my video game collection is a bit of a mess right now, and I gotta sort it together. And because I know I have Madden, I know I have a newer Madden on, well, because the Madden, the one we're playing, Madden 11, is on PlayStation 3. I know I have a Madden on PlayStation 4. I forget what year it was, and I don't know where it is. And yes, I'm one of those physical collectors, so I have to find the physical disc to play it. It's not just on the hard drive. I know that's probably a good, that's, it's one of those reasons people love the digital, because it's just right there. But I like the physical, and I don't know where it is. So I have to, I do plan on organizing some stuff, and maybe I'll find it. Or maybe I'll just get the new one. I still have a PlayStation 4, right? Madden 223. I think it's still, I know PlayStation 5's out. I still don't have PlayStation 5. And probably not getting one anytime soon, but maybe let's get the new Madden and we can play that. And then NHL 19. No, not 19. 16, I think. I don't know. Some NHL I have on PlayStation 4 that was the first, again, first one I could find. Although it might be the most recent one I have. I don't think I've gotten a new NHL game in a while. Again, maybe I'll just get a new NHL game. I don't know. But anyways, that's what we've been playing. So I really haven't had time to play anything else recently. As far as video game news, I really haven't been keeping up, I'll be honest. I know the new Zelda comes out in March or April or May, sometime in the spring. I'll probably check that out at some point. I don't know, I never finished the previous one. I'm not the biggest Zelda person, I'll be honest. I'll sit here, I'll be honest. I mean, I love Zelda, the original Zelda on the NES. I'll play that all day. But, even Zelda 2, I don't really care for. And, some of the newer Zeldas are fine. Like, I've been playing on and off and playing the Game Boy one that they re-released on Switch. Link's Awakening, is that what it's called? Yeah. That one's not bad. But, just here and there. But it's like, yeah, Breath of the Wild, it's like I'll play it, but like I'll, it's one of those games more so than any other Zelda game, I think, where it's like, but even still with some of the older Zelda games, I mean, with the older, there's just so much you can do that you spend so much time doing stuff, and it's like I've been playing this game for hours and hours, and I've literally done nothing in terms of storyline. I mean, I always had that issue with like Grand Theft Auto 2. It's like I'll play that game for hours and hours on end, and I literally have not done anything as far as the storyline goes, which is fine. If having fun playing the game, that's what kind of what those kind of games are kind of designed to do. Where it's like you don't have to just play the main game; you can do other stuff. But in order to unlock stuff and other stuff, you have to do play the main game, and it's like if you don't do that, then you get stuck. But it's like every time I go to play it, and it's like, oh, I messed up and didn't beat, the mission. Oh, well, here's a bunch of stuff I can do over here, and here's a car, cool car I've never seen. I'll drive this around for a while, and you never get back to then. Oh, wait, I forgot. I have to go back and do that mission again. I don't know. For me, I like structurally for those type of games. I kind of like it more linear. Like the Mario, I think, was more linear, I feel like. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff you can do, but eventually you gotta do this thing. Or you run into stuff that you are supposed to do that you don't realize you're supposed to do. It's like, oh yeah, there's a star or a moon or whatever. I didn't know that was there, but there we go. That continues my progress. I don't know. And it's not that they're not fun. It's just like I don't know. I don't know if it's not that I get bored with it. It's just a matter of like, oh, I forgot what I was doing. I don't even know what I'm doing in this game. And then I'll play it for hours and then be like, oh, yeah, I haven't done anything with this game. It was my issue I had with Red Dead Redemption 2. It's like play the game for many, many, many hours, and it's like, hey, did you get to this part and this part? It's like, no, what? I'm just playing poker for 3 hours for some reason. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know. It just, Maybe it's the way I play games for some reason. Like, you're not telling me what to do, I'll do a bunch of nonsense, and then I don't actually finish the game. That's just kind of how it is. But hey, there we go. All right, but let's move on to a concert concerto. So, big news kind of dropped randomly last week, or was it last week? Or the week before? Whatever. No, it was last week. Yeah, it was definitely last week. Metallica, they're back. They have a new song, Ox Laterna. Ox Laterna, however you say it. Good. Enjoy it. It's a good song. Quick one. It's only like 3 minutes and whatever, 20 seconds or something like that. So a quick new one. Of course, they released the full, the track list for the album. I think it's got 12 songs, but it's like 80 minutes. So it's like, yeah, there's going to be some long songs on there, despite the, single being only 3 minutes and whatever. And then that's a world tour, which spans 2 years, which is weird. Very, very spread out tour. But part of the thing of it is they're doing two shots in every city. And they're doing different sets each night. And they're doing different openers for each night. Pantera being one of them, at least in the United States. And then Five Finger Death Punch. And there's a couple others. And a few different places they have, different people or whatever. So tickets went on sale, but you had to buy the two-pack for both shows, which is a little pricey. They are playing Gillette Stadium in August of 2024, which is, not only is it pricey, it's like a long ways away, so it's hard to commit to something that far away and hold up, tie up your money, I guess. I don't know. Or at the same point, it's just buy it and forget about it, and 2 years down the line, or a year and a half down the line, it's like, oh, I already had the tickets, cool. I don't know, opted to wait for now. We'll see. I do want to go to at least one of the shows, certainly the Pantera one. Whether I need to go to both, we'll see. Depends on what the tickets kind of do, second market, or what the prices are. Because they said they release individual day tickets, I think, eventually. But, again, it's not till August of 2024, so it's kind of like, I don't know. It's like, I know people waited a long time for some of the shows that they bought tickets for during prior to the pandemic because of delays and stuff, but this is a little different. And so it's kind of weird to, buy something that far out. So holding off for now. Still haven't listened to the new Disturbed or the new Slipknot. I got to do that. I got to listen to both of those. Yeah, those are two shows I gotta listen to, two things I gotta listen to, for sure. I think I talked to the new Ozzy and the new Chili Peppers. I did finally listen to those, but I think I already talked about those. I think. I don't know. Whatever. It was a while ago, so yeah, hopefully I did. I think I did. Pretty sure I did. I don't know. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. Either way, they were both good. Both solid. Haven't bought, don't have any plans yet to go to any shows. Coming up, kind of intrigued about the Foreigner farewell tour, I'll be honest. Never seen Foreigner. I do enjoy a lot of Foreigner songs, so maybe that could be something. They're playing with Loverboy, which, Loverboy's got a couple of decent songs, but, Work for the Weekend's great song, but, they have a couple other decent songs other than that, but, nothing else planned as far as concerts go, so that's all I really got for concert concerto. So let's move on to sports splash zone. Celtics and Bruins just dominating at the moment. Celtics did stumble a little bit against Miami last week. They played them back-to-back games at home, which is a weird scheduling thing they are doing. They did it last year a little bit for the pandemic, and it sort of made sense. But they continued it for a few games this year. Don't totally know why, but oh well. They lost the second game of the back-to-back. Jimmy Butler returned for the Heat, and they lost in overtime, so that kind of stunk. And the but then they bounced back, beat the Nets on Sunday, destroyed the Suns last night, and have a big showdown coming up on Saturday against the Warriors. A big ABC Saturday night game, so that'll be interesting to see. Warriors are playing a little bit better. They started off Not great, but they've been playing better as of late. So should be a good game. Hopefully the Celtics can get a little bit of revenge from last year. Obviously won't make up for losing in the finals, but hey. As far as the Bruins, they finally lost at home, albeit in a shootout. So, not exactly the worst thing in the world because they still get a point, but unfortunately did lose. And of course they lost to the Golden Knights, which, head coach Bruce Cassidy returning to Boston to beat the Bruins, but then they bounced back and beat up on the Avalanche second time in a week. They beat them on Saturday, and then they beat them up 4-0 in Colorado last night. So, well, I forget what the final score was on Saturday. I think it was like 5-1, and then 4-0 last night. So, yeah, hopefully, just a little bump in the road with the Golden Knights. Now, the crazy part is they're like technically, or well, I guess they're tied right now with the Devils. Devils only have one, like, Devils have one more loss. We played one more game and it was a loss than the Bruins. So it's like crazy. The Bruins and Devils are just tearing it up. I think they play coming up next week. No, a couple weeks. I don't know. I feel like they do have a matchup coming up. It might actually be after Christmas. I'm gonna have to look it up now. So as long as they keep on winning, or stay within the same winning schedule or whatever, that'll be a heck of a showdown coming up on. Let's see, when is it? In New Jersey. Oh, on Friday, December 23rd. Now, that's interesting because I've been to two Celtics games so far this year. Both the games I went to, the Bruins were also playing, on the road, and they lost both those games. So, yeah. That's not good. I'm supposed to be going to the Celtics game that night. All right, we'll see how that plays out. And that'll be the second night of back-to-back. The Bruins actually played the night before, which I'm going to that game. That's going to be home against Jets. But anyways, in other sports-related news, Aaron Judge re-signed with the Yankees. There was reports he was going to San Francisco. And then soon as there was reports to go to San Francisco, he signed with the Yankees. There was good reporting that the Red Sox were making progress with Xander Bogaerts, and then he turned around, signed a deal with the Padres. Now, the Red Sox did make a couple signings. Kenley Jansen, closer, they signed him. And then they signed a guy from Japan whose name I don't remember off the top of my head. I'll look it up in a second. There it is. Yoshida. Masataka Yoshida. I believe that's how you pronounce it. I could be wrong. Now, see, the thing is that, so he signed him a 5-year, $90 million deal, but then they have to pay $15 million to, like, his Japanese team or something, which weird. It's always weird with the Japanese stuff. I know they wanted to do an international draft, and it got voted down in the last, in the CBA prior to this season. That was a big kind of sticking point, which, ultimately didn't get resolved in a draft. So they're continuing on the way it's going. One thing they did do with the draft, though, is they did have, as part of the new CBA, is a draft lottery, which was won by the Pirates. Because, yeah, the Pirates could use another first-round draft pick. Which, I don't know. Pirates are always. Pirates, I mean, since Barry Bonds left the Giants back in 93, was that 93? Yeah, it was 93. The Pirates have been pretty much trash for the most part. They had a couple of okay years where I think they made it to the playoffs. But other than that, they've been pretty much garbage. So yeah, give them another draft pick. That'll help. But whatever, it's fine. it is what it is, I guess. Yeah, other than that, the Patriots, ugh. I mean, they, you know, should have beaten the Vikings. They lost. Then they played okay against the Bills, but for, like, the first quarter, they lost. Or first half, I guess. I don't know. I mean, they looked okay at the start, and then, yeah, no, they lost. So they've fallen back down to 500, 6-6. Now, technically, they're still in the playoff hunt, but they got Arizona in Arizona on a Monday Night Football coming up. Then they got to go to the Raiders. Then they're home for the Dolphins and Dolphins and Bengals. Might be the other way around. I think it's Bengals, then Dolphins. And then they finish off the Bills. You know, that last game of the season may not mean anything to the Bills. Who knows? But, you know, the chances are they're still going to be battling with Kansas City for, and potentially even Miami, depending on what happens, for the division and the first seed. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But, you know, it's not exactly the easiest schedule because Cincinnati's right in the mix too. And with Lamar Jackson going down for Baltimore, you know, they're battling for that division. Raiders have been playing a lot better lately. So to have to go into Las Vegas isn't exactly the easiest thing in the world. And, you know, Arizona's hasn't been great, but still going there for a Monday night game is not exactly going to be easy either. So, yeah, and then the Dolphins, you know, they're tough, always tough. And they're battling, you know, for the playoffs as well. So it's going to be a tough go. For the Patriots, I don't know if they'll get there. I don't know if they'll make the postseason, but yeah, you know, a little bit of a step back from last year, I'd say, unfortunately. But you know, it's not over. We'll see how it plays out. And yeah, so there we go. All right, moving on to fights for money. Tyson Fury won his fight that he finally had. now I don't know what's next for him. You know, he won last weekend. UFC, UFC 282? Is this weekend? Yeah, 282. I was like, 280-something. 282 coming up on this Saturday. Lots of stuff coming up on Saturday, actually. We'll talk about it as we go forward. But yeah, so UFC 282 taking place in Las Vegas at the T-Mobile Arena coming up on Saturday night. The prelims are all on... Well, the early prelims are in ESPN Plus. The preliminary cards on ESPN Plus and ESPN2. And the main card, of course, on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. So check it out if you want to. I really don't... I mean, there's... I haven't been following this one. This one hasn't really been, like, I don't know, been talked about as much, I feel like, as the previous UFC bouts. But the big fight is for the vacant light heavyweight championship. Jan Blachowicz taking on Magomed Ankalaev. Yeah, I said those completely correct. I don't know. If I had to take a guess, if I had to make a bet, if I had to pick, I'm going to go with Jan Blachowicz. That's my pick. There we go. But other fights taking place on Saturday. We got Paddy Pimblett versus Jarrett Gordon, lightweight bout. Alex Morano versus Santiago Ponzinibbio is now a catchweight fight for some reason. Okay. Darren Till is taking on Dricus du Plessis in a middleweight battle. And then a featherweight battle, we have Bryce Mitchell and Ilya Topuria. I don't know why it's a catch weight. Typically the catch weights, that's because they had the weigh-ins already, but they haven't had... Why would they have done the weigh-ins already? How would they know it's a catch weight? That's weird to me. Now, it's also apparently supposed to be Robbie Lawler is supposed to face on Santiago Ponzinibbio. Oh, that's probably what happened. Robbie Lawler was injured. Okay. So then Alex Morano is a replacement, and he's not in the same weight class, so they're doing a catch weight. Gotcha. Of 180. That's what it says. I don't know. Should be an interesting card, I guess. I don't know. This one doesn't really have the, you know... I mean, it's got a light heavyweight championship match, so that's interesting, but as far as the name value, I don't know. A little lacking in my taste, but I'll be watching what we'll talk about in just a moment anyways, so I probably won't check out this. Maybe I'll watch the main event, because by the time NXT deadline's over, it'll probably be time for probably the last couple of matches. I don't know. Whatever. I might watch some of it. We'll see. Regardless, so let's move on to turnbuckle time. Turnbuckle time. So, of course, we want to talk about Survivor Series. We went to Survivor Series a couple weeks ago. It was fun. War Games, I should say. Survivor Series War Games. It was fun. A couple of thoughts right off the bat before we get into what actually happened at the show. There was news that came out, I don't know when it was, last week or whatever. Like, they were talking about how the success of Survivor Series War Games and how it broke, you know, the all-time WWE the all-time WWE, not attendance record for Boston, but it was like the gate record, the money, the all-time, the highest grossing event, WWE event in Boston. It was also apparently the most watched Survivor Series ever on Peacock, or I don't know, whatever. It broke some records, and they were saying, they're talking about how they chose Boston for a specific reason. The reason was, since they were having it after Thanksgiving, it's Thanksgiving weekend, they figured have it somewhere where a lot of people go to, and a lot of people have families in Boston. You know, a lot of people travel to Boston, is their point, as opposed to like some other cities where a lot of people leave those cities during Thanksgiving. But the Northeast, pretty good for a lot of people going back to those cities for Thanksgiving. So, and you know, obviously it panned out. There's a lot of people there, sold out, everything. My issue with having it the Saturday after Thanksgiving was there was a bit of holiday fatigue. Now, the crowd was into the War Games matches for the most part. The other matches, certainly not. The Shotzi Ronda Rousey match, not so much. There's, you know, bits and pieces to that though too, because of the way the event was structured. You have the two big War Games matches, you know, at the beginning and the end, and you had the three matches in the middle. But the problem is, you start off the War Games match, you know, and that's with intros and, you know, the timing thing, situation, and everyone coming in, and, you know, obviously everything happening, and then, you know, it's a good 40 minutes, I think, before, you know, it's over, and people aren't getting up to go leave and do stuff. So then everyone kind of gets up at the same time after the match is over to go check merch, buy, you know, go to the bathroom, get some, you know, drinks and food and whatever. So then by the time everyone's back already in their seats and get, you know, into the next match, it was already partway into the match, so it kind of seemed like, oh, no one cares. But it was like, oh, people did, but, you know, it took a while for the AJ Finn Balor match to get going, and then I think, you know, eventually it got going. The Shotzi Ronda match was just kind of meh anyways. And then I think people were really into the triple threat for the US title, and then the main event, obviously. But you know, overall, the crowd was, you know, a little bit lacking in enthusiasm, and I think that was because of holiday fatigue, not because of the actual show or the actual crowd or whatever. It's a lot of holiday fatigue, because think about it this way. Normally, Survivor Series is the weekend before Thanksgiving, and, you know, it's always typically been on Sunday. I know they're doing this whole new Saturday thing, which I understand. I've talked about it before. I get it. You know, they want to deal with football. Obviously, be on Peacock. You know, they have the football on Peacock. So they want to have it on Saturday, not to avoid conflict with all that. I get it. Plus, you know, with the Peacock, they don't care as much, so much. WWE themselves don't care much, so much about the viewership. With Sunday nights typically being a better viewing audience, which is why they've always in the past with the pay-per-views and stuff always had it on Sunday night. More people home, more people potentially to watch and buy the pay-per-view. You know, even with the network, more people maybe sign up for the network or watch the show. Whereas on Saturday night, people might be out doing whatever. But since they already have the deal with Peacock, it doesn't really matter so much in the current state it is. Obviously, down the line, it's going to matter, because if their viewerships are terrible, you know, Peacock's not going to re-sign the deal. But for now, it makes sense. And for Peacock, too, it's like they'd rather have something else on Saturday because they have football on Sunday, so there's no reason to counter, you know, program yourself, have something on Saturday night. So it makes sense. Even if you only get, you know, less of an audience than you might get on Sunday, they don't care because people are watching football on Sunday. So to them, it doesn't matter. And from the WWE standpoint, if you have the on Saturday, you're going to get more people to actually go to the show potentially than on a Sunday. Regardless, all that, my point is, weekend before Thanksgiving, you know, whether it's a Saturday or a Sunday, people are ready. They're ramped, ready to go. They probably haven't traveled to where they're going yet. So they're, you can have it wherever you want. I know that was part of the reason why they had Boston. People travel to Boston, but if you're doing it the weekend before, people haven't traveled yet, so you can have it anywhere. People are gearing up. They're gearing up for Thanksgiving. That, you know. But when you have it the Saturday after Thanksgiving, or luckily it wasn't the Sunday, I suppose, but Saturday, the weekend after Thanksgiving, you got people traveling. You got people partying on the night before Thanksgiving. Then you got Thanksgiving itself and eating and all that and all of your family stuff and whatever else. Then Friday, you got Black Friday. People out going out, traveling to the stores, buying stuff, whatever, getting up at 3 a.m. to go get in line to buy stuff, whatever. And then you got that, and then you got Saturday. So a lot of, by the Saturday night rolls around, there's a lot of holiday fatigue. Certainly in Boston, you had the Patriots were playing. I know they were on the road, but still a lot of people staying up late to watching Patriots after eating all their Thanksgiving stuff, maybe having people over, partying and stuff. You don't have to work on Friday, maybe. Then, you know, obviously Black Friday, you know, people going out and buying stuff, whatever. But there's also Celtics and Bruins games going on at the same time. You had the Undertaker there, and there was a card show that day. You know, there was just a lot going on, which I get. Be a nice place to have it, but there was just holiday fatigue. Enough about that. As far as my predictions go, as far as me and Drew's predictions, how did we do? Well, I actually never updated this, but we both got Seth Rollins wrong. We both got Finn Balor wrong, as Austin Theory was able to pull away with a victory in the US title, and AJ Styles won. We both got Ronda Rousey right, but I got Bianca's team right and the Bloodline. Drew got those ones wrong. So the only thing Drew actually got right was Ronda Rousey. I got Ronda Rousey and then the two War Games matches as Bianca's team, along with Becky Lynch, who ended up being the fifth member, won. And then the Bloodline was able to defeat Drew McIntyre, the Brawling Brutes, and Kevin Owens. And Jey Uso and Sami Zayn are all good. They hugged it out. And everything's good with the Bloodline for now. We'll see how that plays out down the line. Other news and notes to talk about as far as WWE are concerned. Tegan Nox returned this week on SmackDown to help out Liv Morgan against Damage Control. What else happened? Oh, Dexter Lumis beat The Miz. He's now a and got his money from The Miz. So now he's part of full time part of Raw or WWE. Not that he really wasn't, but you know how they do it. We'll talk about NXT coming up. That's really all I know. The World Cup finale. I forgot about that. Ricochet beat Santos Escobar. He will now get a match against Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. Not tomorrow. I'm recording this Thursday. Not tomorrow, but next Friday, I believe it is what it was. There is going to be a number one contenders match for the U.S. title between Bobby Lashley and Seth Rollins on Raw on Monday. The Usos beat... Well, the Usos are supposed to fight Riddle and Elias, but then they beat up Elias. So then Riddle get Kevin Owens as a partner, but then they won, and then they beat up Riddle. But now they will defend against... They announced this that it was supposed to be Sheamus and Drew McIntyre, but Drew McIntyre is injured, so now it's going to be Sheamus and Butch on tomorrow, Friday night. I think that covers mostly everything. I'm sure I'm probably missing stuff, but... Oh, Alexa Bliss. Oh, that's right. Alexa Bliss and Bayley won triple threat matches to... And now they will fight next week. The winner will be the number one contender for Bianca Belair's championship. No, I wasn't talking to you. Sorry, my Alexa thing went off. No, I'm not talking to you. that covers, I think, everything. All the WWE news. Now some AEW news. William Regal is no longer with, or will no longer be with AEW after the end of December. He will be going back to WWE to work backstage, specifically backstage. AEW decided to let him out of his contract as Triple H when Triple H took over for the WWE, William Regal got kind of the itch to go back to WWE and work beyond as a coach, work backstage. AEW said, you know what? You know, okay, we'll let you out of your contract to go back, but apparently part of the deal is that he won't appear as a character on TV. He'll just be backstage doing, coaching and all that stuff. And with William Regal's son now in NXT, Dempsey, what's his first name? Now I'm blanking on his name. The problem is I've watched too much World Cup. Actually, I didn't really even cover the World Cup in the Sports Splash Zone. U.S. lost, that's all, in the knockout stage. That's all you really need to know. to the Netherlands. I mean, Brazil looked good. Portugal looked good. Netherlands, England, France. Going into the quarterfinals starting tomorrow, I think. Or maybe it's Saturday. Or is it tomorrow? I don't know. No, it's tomorrow. I think it's Friday and Saturday, right? At the quarterfinals. I don't know. Once the U.S. lost, I'm kind of like, I don't know if I care anymore. But Clint Dempsey has been doing the commentary, which is why I'm getting confused of what William Regal's son's name is. Charlie Dempsey. See, that's where I get it's Charlie versus Clint. It's, all right. Never mind. That's where the confusion was. Because that was also Patrick Dempsey, but I knew it wasn't Patrick Dempsey. But anyways, Charlie Dempsey is NXT now, so a lot of people are speculating, yeah, he wants to go coach with his son, or coach his son, and work with him in NXT, and obviously work with Triple H, and kind of continuing what they had started before he got so abruptly let go back last January by the old regime. Yeah, there you go. There's plenty else going on in AEW right now, but a lot of that's bleeding up toward what else we're going to talk about. The Ring of Honor final battle coming up on Saturday from Arlington, Texas. They're doing this whole Texas run right now for AEW. They were there this week. They're Ring of Honor's there. They're there next week for Winter is Coming, which Ricky, what am I saying? Ricky Starks, who had won the something, he won something. He definitely won something. I don't remember what it was. The casino, no, the ladder, the something. He won something to get a title match. And now I'm blanking on what it was. That's right. He won the tournament, the Eliminator Championship tournament. So he beat Ethan Page in the finals, which got delayed, whatever. Finally happened. So he's getting a title match against MJF next week on Winter is Coming. But also he won the Diamond Ring Battle Royal thingy. But because he won that, now he challenges MJF for the Diamond Ring thingy because he'd won it the previous 3 years. So he didn't have to be in the kind of Karate Kid 3 style. He could just goes right to the finals. I don't know. So now it's for both. So it was like, what was the point of doing that in the first place? I don't know, but whatever. It's fine. Yeah. So that's also kind of the what's happening, I guess. I don't know. It's fine. But as far as pay-per-views go, coming up on Saturday, we got two. Well, one's a pay-per-view, one's a premium live event. There's also UFC, which is a pay-per-view. So lots going on Saturday. But Ring of Honor, which is still its own, it's kind of its own thing, but not really. But maybe again. I don't know. They still haven't announced what's actually going on with that. Although I've heard they might make an announcement on Saturday, potentially, at Final Battle. As to what's going on with maybe a television deal or how they're going to handle it going forward. Because now it's like, it's just weird. It's just a weird, like, part of, like, it's its own, like, division within AEW, which is just weird and confusing. Because, you know, there's so many titles. Because there's all the Ring of Honor titles. But then there's the AEW titles. Of course, then it doesn't help when you have FTR has the New Japan titles and the AAA titles. And now they're bringing in What's-Her-Face. There's a Stardom title or whatever. On Rampage or whatever. I kind of caught that. I think it was the start of that. I don't know. Some sort of women's title was getting defended on Rampage, which isn't the AEW championship, isn't the TBS championship, isn't the Ring of Honor championship. So it's a bit confusing with all the different titles, especially when they're not part of the company. But with Ring of Honor and then AEW, it's like, all right, those could be separate. Right now they're not, but they might be soon. I don't know. But anyways, let's get to the matches. There are 7 matches scheduled as of now. Now they're doing the 0 hour like pre-show. None of these matches are scheduled to be on that. Doesn't mean they can't be or won't be. Also doesn't mean they might announce more matches because, you know, on Rampage tomorrow night or whatever, or just even before the show happens. But there are 7 matches scheduled, so got to go with what I know. First off, we have. And of the 7, they are all title matches except for 1. So we'll start off with that one. Swerve in Our Glory, which everyone kind of thought broke up when Keith Lee, you know, hit the, you know, left Swerve for his own against the Acclaimed at Full Gear. But they kind of were like, hey. Well, Shane Taylor confronted Keith Lee. It's like, hey, me and my boy JD Griffey challenge you to a match at Final Battle. Pick a partner, and then Swerve was just like, hey, I'll be your partner, I guess. Can't see that ending well, based off of what just happened, so I'm gonna go with Shane Taylor Promotions, I guess, because I don't really quite understand how that's gonna work. I don't know. Unless they win and continue this weird will-they-won't-they tag together storyline, I don't know. But, I don't know. I think Swerve's going to turn on Keith Lee. I think that makes the most sense. All right, next up, we got the 6-man tag team Championships. Now, see, that's where it gets confusing to me, because this is the Ring of Honor World Six-Man Tag Team Championships. Although, maybe that's why they called the AEW ones the Trios, to not confuse them with the Ring of Honor ones. So you always kind of wonder, why are the Trios Championships? Why are these Trios matches? The six-man tags. This is the United States. It's not Mexico. We have six-man tags in the United States. Trios matches are like a Mexican thing. So why do they call them the Trios? I mean, yes, I understand that Penta and Phoenix are Mexican and they are technically the champions right now, but as far as the whole division, I don't quite get it. But regardless, maybe to not confuse the Ring of Honor World Six-Man Tag Champions with the AEW Trios Championship. Regardless, the boys, Dalton Castle, are the champions, and they're defending against the Embassy, which is Brian Cage, the Gates of Agony, Bishop, Khan, and Toa Leona. I'm going to go with Dalton Castle and the boys to retain. All right, next up, we have the Ring of Honor Women's Championship as Mercedes Martinez defends against Athena. Athena was beaten up a referee and people, and then Mercedes Martinez came and saved them. So that's why this match is happening, I think. I'm going to go with Mercedes Martinez to retain. Because that's a problem. It's like, if they do eventually split these things up, who's really Ring of Honor, who's AEW? Now, Mercedes Martinez, I think's really Ring of Honor. Athena, I don't think is. I mean, obviously they're having her fight here, but I don't know if that really means anything. But regardless, next up we have the Pure Wrestling Rules Championship and a Pure Wrestling Rules match, which is Daniel Garcia defending the title against the former champion Wheeler Yuta, who he beat for the title. I'm gonna say Daniel Garcia retains. Next up, and again, that's one of those situations where it's like, are these guys really Ring of Honor, or are they AEW? I mean, eventually they're gonna have to figure this stuff out, I feel like. Otherwise it's just a convoluted, confusing mess. Alright, next up we got Samoa Joe defending the Ring of Honor World Television Championship, but not the TNT title, which he defended on Dynamite, because that's something different, but yet he has both. Whatever. Against Juice Robinson. You know what? I'm going to go Juice Robinson, just so they don't... So, to give something new, give a title change, and also then Samoa Joe can just focus on the TNT Championship and his inevitable match with Wardlow, instead of having this weird... Ring of Honor television title thing separate from it all. Confusing everything. So yeah, there we go. And then we got FTR taking on the Briscoes. Another rematch. I feel like they fought at the last Ring of Honor pay-per-view, or the last two Ring of Honor pay-per-views, I believe. Didn't they? Am I confusing? No, they main evented in a 2 out of 3 falls match at Death Before Dishonor. And then at Super Card of Honor, didn't they fight there too? Yeah, they did. So this is the third Ring of Honor pay-per-view in a row that they've fought. But this time around, it's in a dog collar match. So, I'm still confused as to what's going on with the Briscoes, to be quite honest with you. Are they technically signed with Ring of Honor, but they're not allowed to be on TV for reasons? But they could be on a pay-per-view? Weren't they with Impact at one point? I don't know. Anyways, so FDR finally got their shot at the AEW Championships on Wednesday, but they lost. Of course, there's still the AAA champions and the New Japan Pro Wrestling champion, or the IWGP Tag Team Champions. I'm assuming they're defending those at Wrestle Kingdom. Although I don't know if we know that yet. I don't know. Regardless, kind of want to say the Briscoes win, but here's the issue with that. If they win, then what do they do? Because if they're not allowed on AEW, and Ring of Honor doesn't have a TV yet, and even if they do get TV, if they have the same sort of TV deal that the Ring of Honor AEW has, why would they then be allowed on TV? If it depends, I guess it depends on the deal. I don't know. It seems weird to me. So I gotta go with FTR, I think. I guess I just can't see how the Briscoes having the titles makes any sense. And then finally, in the main event of the evening, I don't know what's gonna be the main event specifically, but and presumably the main event, because that dog collar match could be the main event of the evening. It main evented Death Before Dishonor, or the tag match itself did over the Ring of Honor Championship, which was the opening match, I believe. Yes, Claudio beat Gresham for the title. Claudio again challenging once again, this time against Chris Jericho. Now, add a stipulation: if Claudio loses, he will have to join the Jericho Appreciation Society and leave the Blackpool Combat Club, which of course is still a thing, even though William Regal is gone, with Wheeler, Danielson, Claudio, and Moxley. Now, here's another one of those weird situations. It's like, Jericho is the Ring of Honor champion. Claudio was brought in for Ring of Honor specifically. Then they had to fast track him because Danielson got injured for the Blood and Guts match. But he was supposed to originally have come in Ring of Honor at the Death Before, or Supercard of Honor, or no, Death Before Dishonor, whatever it's called. And kind of be the head guy of that. Of course, then they gave it to Jericho, which is like, well, if they're launching the show and they want Jericho to be there to launch the show, that makes sense why they gave him the title. But if Jericho's not going to be part of that, then you kind of have to give it back to Claudio, don't you? But yeah, Claudio joining the Jericho Appreciation Society, I don't know if that makes a ton of sense. But at the same time, I don't know if the Blackpool Combat Club really is anymore. They had this weird thing on Wednesday with, it was like William Regal, but like beyond the grave William Regal. It's like, if anything, it should happen to me. This is why I did the thing. And so it's like he turned bad, enjoyed MJF, but then turned good again. But because MJF attacked him, but then he also was turning good before MJF attacked him in a weird video that was only going out if MJF attacked him. Really weird, really weird and convoluted storyline here. But whatever, hey, it's fine. But, like, so I'm a little confused. Because, like, Claudio winning is fine and gives him the title back. And, you know, like I said, if they're actually moving on and doing something different with Ring of Honor, and Jericho's not going to be part of that, then I get it. But if you're really trying to launch your television show and you want a main guy as your champion to head up your brand, start with Jericho before with AEW, kind of makes sense to do it with Ring of Honor. So I'm a bit on the fence on this one. But ultimately, I don't know why you'd just give the title back to Claudio, so I'm going to go with Chris Jericho to retain. And for Claudio to join the Jericho Appreciation Society, because that makes for at least an interesting storyline for now. We'll see how it plays out. We'll get the We the People tag team together back together with Jake Hager. Yeah, so there we go. So that's Ring of Honor Final Battle taking place on Saturday at 4 p.m., I should mention. 0 hour starts at 3. It's at 4 p.m. It's on early because they want to avoid conflict. Presumably, they're going to say with UFC, but really, it's because of NXT, I think. But anyways, NXT Deadline taking place this Saturday as well, from Orlando in the Performance Center. Kickoff show at 7:30, main show at 8 o'clock. Interesting dynamic and concept for this one. Obviously, last year, this December, premium live event for NXT was used for War Games. So, and previously, like, you know, they had the War Games connected to Survivor Series, the NXT show. Excuse me. But, you know, separated that. But since War Games became part of the Survivor Series, they had to switch it up. So now they're doing something new. They got the Iron Survivor Challenge. So interesting concept. So there's five people in the match. Starts off with two people. Every 5 minutes, another person joins. It's 25 minutes total, which I don't know that I love the 25 minutes. I would have gone with a, you know, half an hour, 30 minutes. I don't know why they chose 25 over 30. I don't know. I just feel like 30 would be a little more, I don't know. It's just a round number, 30, half an hour. I don't know. It seems better. But whatever it is, I mean, I don't think they needed to go an hour, but half an hour would have made sense. I don't know, 25 minutes, whatever. 25 minutes, two people start every 5 minutes. Someone else comes in. The winner is the person that gets the most falls in the 25 minutes. Now, obviously, there's an advantage to being in the in at the beginning, but it's a disadvantage because you're in there longer. But there's an advantage coming out later. You're fresher, but disadvantage, you don't have as much time to get falls. Now, if you lose a fall, you have to go to the penalty box for 90 seconds. So there's also that dynamic where if you're in there for longer, you might be more fatigued and lose a fall and then have to go to the penalty box. So those are interesting matches. But there's a couple, a few other matches involved. So I guess we'll start off with Alba Fyre taking on Isla Dawn. Now, of course, Isla Dawn cost Alba Fyre championship at Halloween Havoc, got involved in that match. Right, or was that Halloween Havoc? That was Halloween Havoc, right? Yeah. Helped Mandy Rose win the last woman standing match, right? Was that what it was? Now I'm confusing myself. I'm trying to remember exactly what happened. That's what happened, right? I'm not making that up. That's because, I mean, obviously they've been feuding since then. So it makes sense that they're having this match. Or was it? That wasn't Halloween Havoc. That was a couple weeks after Halloween Havoc. I was like, I don't remember that happening in Halloween Havoc. I was like, I feel like it was just on. Yeah, it was the last woman standing match, but that was after Halloween Havoc when Alba Fyre got a rematch. And lost because of Isla Dawn. All right, so Alba Fyre versus Isla Dawn. Obviously, bringing in Isla Dawn, I feel like you kind of have to give it to Isla Dawn, right? I think so. Probably shenanigans afoot to get involved, but yeah, there you go. Next up, we got an interesting matchup that got announced on Wednesday as NXT Tag Champions Pretty Deadly were doing their holiday Christmas time story thing. They got interrupted at the end by the New Day. The New Day said, hey, we've never had the NXT Tag Team Champions. We're here. We'll challenge you to a match at Deadline. So we got New Day taking on Pretty Deadly. Now, I have a hard time believing that the New Day will win the tag titles just because I don't think they're going to stick around in NXT. I think this is kind of a one-off thing. So I got to go with Pretty Deadly. Although for Pretty Deadly to beat the New Day, it's kind of a big, big thing. But maybe that's the point, right? All right. So I got to go with Pretty Deadly on there to retain. Then we got the Iron Survivor Challenge matches. First off, the Women's Iron Survivor Challenge match. We got Zoe Stark versus Cora Jade versus Roxanne Perez versus Kiana James versus Indy Hartwell. They said they're going to announce the order, entrance order, during the pre-show. So, obviously, I don't know what that is yet, but there we go. So, it's a tough one because obviously the winner is going to go challenge Mandy Rose because she's not defending the title for the women's title. I mean, Cora Jade, I feel like the Zoe Stark, Cora, I feel like, maybe it's Indy Hartwell. They've kind of been giving her a bit of a push recently. There was a bit of an interaction between her and Mandy on Wednesday that kind of leads me to believe, because out of these ones, Kiana James, I just don't feel like, and then Roxanne, Cora, and Zoe Stark have all had their shot at Mandy, I feel like, so I feel like it's time for someone else. I feel like Indy Hartwell may have fought Mandy at one point down the line. She had the title for so long, I can't remember, but I feel like it's been a while. So I'm going to go with Indy Hartwell to win. And then on the men's side of things, we got Carmelo Hayes, JD McDonagh, Grayson Waller, Joe Gacy, and Axiom. I kind of want to go with Carmelo Hayes on this. Obviously the winner of this is going to fight the winner of the next match we'll talk about in a second, which, you know, maybe this kind of gives away who I think is going to win, but not really. I don't think it really matters as much. But we know JD McDonagh already got a shot recently. Joe Gacy got a shot recently. Grayson Waller, didn't he get a shot recently? Axiom hasn't, but I don't know. I don't feel that one. So I'm going to go with Carmelo Hayes. And then the main event. Well, I don't know what the main event will be. The Iron Survivor match may be the main event, but in presumably the main event, maybe, I don't know. We got the NXT Championship match. Bron Breakker defending against Apollo Crews. They've been doing these back and forths at a diner and fishing and all sorts of stuff recently. Seems to be mutual admiration for each other. So, you know, it's not a blood feud by any means, at least not yet. But again, the winner of this will go on to fight whoever wins the Iron Survivor. I gotta go with Bron Breakker. I just don't see him losing it yet. So there you go. Bron Breakker is my pick for the winner of that match. So there we go. That's going to do it. Coming up on Saturday, NXT Deadline. Saturday night, 7:30. I don't know that... Presumably the Ring of Honor Death Before Honor will be over by then. Maybe. I don't know. I would think so. Because it starts at 4. The pre-show at 3. It starts at 4. Goes 3 hours. It'll be done at 6. No. We'll be done at 7. Pre-show for the NXT, 7:30. Show at 8. Presumably be done by 10:30, 11. There's only 5 matches. So, I mean, but you do know the Iron Survivors have to go 25 minutes. Plus intros and, you know, whatever. So those are like half an hour, 35 minutes. I don't know, whatever. So there we go. That's going to do it for today. Thank you everyone for listening. This is a bit of a longer one. Back to the normal, structure and length. Hopefully you enjoyed it. I don't know. Some people like the shorter ones. Some people like the longer ones. I don't know. It is what it is. That sounded dirtier than I meant it. I think that sounded weird the way, never mind. Some people like the longer podcast. Some people like the shorter podcast. Depends on what you feel. But anyways, so thank you everyone for listening. Come back next time. I don't know when I'll do another one. Probably do another one before the end of the year. Actually, I might do a bonus one where I pick the bowl games. I know I've done that before, maybe. I know I've did the March Madness ones before. I don't know if I've done... I feel like I did the bowl game once before. Maybe I haven't. I don't know. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. We'll see. Maybe I'll have something for the end of the year. Maybe I won't. If I don't, happy holidays to everyone. If I do, well, we'll talk again soon. But of course, if you haven't subscribed yet, do so. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Amazon, Spotify. Check out my Instagram and Twitter at One Man Renegade. Check out the Facebook page, One Man Renegade Podcast. No, Productions, One Man Renegade Productions. Also, name of the YouTube channel. Head on to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Watch all YouTube channel videos, share them, subscribe, all that good stuff. Comment, leave reviews and like and share and follow and everything you can. And then check out eBay. Razor Vader is my seller name. I got a bunch of stuff up for sale. Go check it out. Buy some stuff if you need to get some wrestling related stuff. And there's some Marvel stuff too there, I believe. Wrestling or Marvel related stuff for sale if you need last minute gifts for Christmas. or holidays or whatever. And then, yeah, razorradio.blogspot.com for the blog, if you want to check that out. All that good stuff. So thank you everyone for listening. Stay safe. Have fun. Talk to you next time. Bye.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
While the merry bells keep ringing, happy holiday to you.
Happy holiday. Happy holiday.
It's the holiday season, and Santa Claus is coming round. The Christmas snow is white on the ground. When old Santa gets into town, he'll be coming down the chimney down.
He'll be coming down the chimney down.
It's the holiday season, and Santa Claus has got a toy for every good girl and good little boy. Santa's a great big bundle of joy when he's coming down the chimney down.
He'll be coming down the chimney down.